Well, welcome again, everyone. Man, what a blessing it is to just worship the Lord and to have it just be a time of true worship, just kind of humbling ourselves and lifting the Lord up and exalting Him. That's what it means to exalt, is to lift Him up and put Him in His rightful place. That's why we sing that song. You know, we're continuing through our series on core values. And after that, we have a couple more weeks. We're going to be jumping into the book of James. And we're going to be continuing our line upon line teaching as we've traditionally done. But I felt like it was important for us to hone in on these core values, because they really are either what defines us or what we want to define us. All right. So as you look at our website and you go, okay, what's this church all about? Some of you have already done that. I've even talked to some of you recently who said, yeah, I was browsing through your website trying to figure out what you're all about. That's really why we have a website, right? It's probably more functional that way than anything else. People go on there and go, what does this church believe? What are they all about? And they look at our values and they go, okay, they prioritize reverence for God. They prioritize the word of God, right? And one of our core values we're going to be talking about today is generosity. I don't know how many of you have been impacted by generosity. Guarantee all of you have a story or two where somebody has been extremely generous toward you. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. I know the first thing you think about when you think about generosity is probably money, but that's not going to be the focus of today's message. We're going to be talking about a lot of different ways that we can be generous, money just being one of them. But I want to take you back in time to Brianna and Mike, married for only, you know, a handful of years, and we had just had Avery, okay? So we had Elijah and Avery. They were little babies, little munchkins running around, right? They kind of looked more like Morgan and Gatlin's kids, just these little nuggets, you know? And we were so incredibly broke at that time. And when I say broke, I mean we had negative money consistently. Like we were borrowing money to pay rent, and then we'd borrow it, and then we'd get our paycheck, and then we'd pay Brianna's mom back, who loaned us the money, and then we'd get our next paycheck, we'd buy some food, and then we wouldn't be able to afford rent, and then we'd borrow money the next month. I mean, that's the cycle we were in. It was a pretty rough cycle. And I had just left doing tile work and was a youth pastor making like just pennies, you know, making no money. And we lived in, if you guys are familiar with Southern California, we lived in Carlsbad. That's where the church was. So it's not, you can't get a cardboard box for less than a couple $1,000s a month. So we were just so, so broke. So what I did is I started picking up tile jobs on Saturdays, kind of working as a helper. And I was talking with this guy named Jason, the most unassuming guy ever. Like you wouldn't assume he would be the generous guy just because, you know, stereotypically he doesn't look the part. Like the dude's got tattoos up his neck, on his face. He just tattooed like a tiger head on the top of his bald head. So if he looks down, it looks like a tiger's looking at you, you know? Scary looking dude. And we're like doing tile work, talking, and he's like telling me about the meal that he made the night before. And I was telling him how I'm like, man, yeah, we don't eat fancy like that. We're usually like bean and cheese quesadilla people. And he's like, dude, why? Like, why aren't you eating some chicken or something? I'm like, chicken's expensive. We don't get the money for chicken. Well, the next week, I didn't expect anything. He showed up with a little red cooler filled with frozen chicken breasts and just handed them. I'm gonna cry as I'm up here. Don't make me cry, you guys. I see all these faces over here, all heartbroken. But he gave me some chicken, and I was like, man, that is so funny. Like, I didn't think I'd be in the position where someone would be giving me, donating chicken to me so that I could, like, have chicken quesadillas instead of bean quesadillas. But, man, it was so generous, and that really just captured what generosity was in my heart and in my spirit, and that stuck with me. And, Jason, I'm going to send you this sermon. Thank you. You know, if you listen to it, that really went a long way. But I want to talk about how we can best grow in and model generosity as a church, as a people, with each other and with the Lord, with the church, but then also out in the community. How can we be generous in all different aspects of our lives? So I have to first talk about tithing. And tithing is an important thing to talk about because I want to talk about what it is, and then I want to talk about what it isn't. Okay? And some of you are like, oh, great. You know, I brought a friend at the tithing message. No. I just want to talk about a little history lesson so we can understand it. Okay? Because we're talking about generosity today. So if any of you are Bible students, Numbers chapter 18 is where you're going to be finding some of the institute, the laws of tithing, okay, when it came to the Levitical tribes. And I want to just explain this for a moment. There was Jacob. Okay, his name was changed to Israel. He was the one who had the wrestling match with God. And when you hear about the sons of Israel, they were actually the sons of this man named Israel, whose name was Israel. So the Israelites all come from one of his 12 sons. He has all these boys, this massive group of boys. He also had a daughter you could read about. That's an interesting story if you want to have a fun read. Some of you get that inside joke. It's pretty brutal. But there's these 12 sons. One of them is named Levi, okay? And that's where you get the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, okay? So what happened was the Lord was giving land to his people. And he said, okay, I'm going to give some to the tribe of Reuben. That was the name of one of his sons. I'm going to give some to the tribe of Issachar, some to the tribe of Gad, some to, you know, and he started giving land out. And he said, but the Levites won't have a portion for themselves. They will work the temple. That's going to be their portion. They're going to be my people that take care of all of the work that the temple has to have going constantly. Incense, sacrifices, cleaning, making sure that the other 11 tribes can worship properly and can have their sacrifices, okay? So hopefully that all makes sense to you all. So the thing is, the Levites didn't have land. They weren't farming. They weren't raising cattle. So how did they eat? How do they survive day to day? Well, the Lord said the other 11 tribes are going to give a tithe, a tenth of everything that they grow, every one of their crops, every animal, they're going to give a tenth to the tribe of Levi. So now Levi, this Levitical priesthood that takes care of the temple, is now getting 110% of all the goods. It's kind of nice, right? Now they're able to function. But then there was actually a priesthood within the Levitical priests that were from the tribe of Aaron, and the Levites would give 10% of what they got from the other 11 tribes to the priests. So there was a tithe going up and then going up again. They were tithing and tithing and tithing, and everybody wanted to do their part for the Lord. Okay, that was what it was, and it was pretty cool because you would give your best. So let's say that you were from the tribe of, let's say, Zebulun, and you were like, we're the apple tribe, okay? We're raising apples, and we got a bunch of them, okay? We actually got 1,000 apples this month. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick our 100 shiniest, red, beautiful, blemish-free apples. We're going to give those to the tribe of Levi. And Levi's like, sweet, these are some really nice apples. Then they go through those 100, and then they pick the best 10 out of those 100 and give those to the priests. They were always giving their best up the line, okay? So the reason I want to talk about tithing for a moment is because what I wouldn't call tithing is generosity, because your tithe is supposed to be to the Lord. So you're not saying, Lord, I got you. I'm going to be generous to you. I'm going to hook you up, God, because God doesn't need it. Okay. God is like, no, this is an act of obedience unto the Lord. And I'm going to give unto him because that's what he's called me to do. Okay, now some of you we can make the argument that tithing is a generous act just because you're still giving of something that you have. But when I'm talking about generosity, I'm talking about something a little bit different. Now there's this, I'm not gonna get too deep into the theological. I'm already losing some of you, I know. But some people will make the argument that tithing isn't really for today. And I'll tell you this, there's a couple scriptures I want to read. One of them is Jesus is actually encouraging he's rebuking the Pharisees. He says, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So when he's talking to the Pharisees, he's saying, you Pharisees, you're tithing. You're making sure you're doing your part perfectly, but you're not loving people and you're not caring for people. So what he says is you should love and care for people and then not neglect the tithe that you're doing. Do both, okay? So Jesus is encouraging tithe. Some people are like, yeah, but Jesus was talking to the Pharisees that upheld the law. So the law is no longer relevant because Jesus died on the cross and we're no longer under the law. Ha, there's another one, okay? 600 years before the law, there was a man named Abram. You remember Abraham? His name was changed to Abraham. He met this priest named Melchizedek. Melchizedek was this high priest. And it says here, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, or blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Here's an interesting thing. Abraham didn't follow the law. He was way before the law ever existed, and he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. So it's interesting because tithing technically precedes the law. So it's not something that we say, well, this was a legal issue that the Jews had to follow. So with all that being said, I'll tell you right now, what I won't say is that tithing is mandated, that if you don't tithe, you're in sin. But what I will say is tithing is something that we do personally because it's we want to be obedient to the Lord in what he's calling us to do. And I just really feel like that's something that's been strong on my heart, that the Lord has said, I want you and your wife to be faithful in your giving. When we started giving, it was when we got, like, right around the time we got that frozen chicken. It's crazy. Like, we decided to start tithing when we were at our brokest. And a lot of people will say, well, the pastor is trying to now get money out of people who don't have money. That's not it at all. My job is to shepherd and to lead people into obedience with the Lord and into fruitfulness and into a flourishing relationship with Jesus. And what we've determined in our family is that's us being in alignment. And we are kind of strict about it, right? Like, we're like, well, do we tithe pre-tax or post-tax? I don't know. Like, well, if we tithe pre-tax and then we tithe after we tax, give tax to the government, then if we get money back at the end of the year, we should probably tithe on that money. Like, we're like super specific about it because we're just like, we want to be in alignment with the Lord. And we want to be obedient. So we're super strict with ourselves. And many people will be like, well, that's legalistic. It's legalistic if I force you guys to. If we put restrictions on ourselves, that's just good discipline, right? So my encouragement to you all, this is not a guilt trip thing at all. This is, I want you all to be in a flourishing relationship with Jesus Christ and to be in alignment with him. And I want you all to just go home and say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do between me and you? This is me and you now. What are you calling me to do? This is nothing to do with, like, I think some people think, oh, like, man, Mike and Brianna are cool. Yeah, we'll help them out. That's not what a tithe is. I'm telling you right now, that's not it. Or like, yeah, they're giving to some good organizations. Maybe I'll consider supporting that. That's not what a tithe is. This is saying, I want my money to go to the Lord, and I want to be in alignment with him. That's what a tithe is. That's what we've determined in our heart. And so that's not what generosity is in the context of what we're talking about right now. There's a scripture I want to read to you that I feel like sums up generosity in a really unique way. It might be an unassuming scripture that you would say, I don't think that's a generosity parable, but I think by the time we're done, you might agree with me. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Elijah actually has the scriptures up there. It should be under the sermon portion, Elijah. I put them in a weird spot today. Okay, so Luke 10. I'm going to read these, and you guys can read along. You guys have probably heard this parable before. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Well, it's a powerful, powerful piece of scripture here. It's actually I think Elijah, you're the one that looked it up, the most famous parable, and it was the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is the most famous parable according to some article online, which means so much, right? But I mean, it's up there. It's either that or the prodigal son. There's a few that are really, really up there. But the Good Samaritan is a very, very impactful piece of scripture. Now, it's interesting because we just talked about the Levites. The Levites are this priestly tribe that the Lord had so much favor on, and yet he's right now just roasting a Levite in his parable and a priest. It's interesting because, like, if you ever took any art history classes, there were these Renaissance painters that would paint these beautiful pieces of artwork, and a lot of them had these very religious undertones. They would paint pictures of heaven and paint pictures of hell and all these incredible paintings. And oftentimes, you're going to have to do your own research on this, but oftentimes when they would paint hell, they would put a lot of the higher-ups in the Catholic Church in hell. So you'd see the Pope in hell, like, you know, in a certain area, and there's demons around and all this crazy stuff going on. You're like, why is the Pope there? It's because those Renaissance painters got to see the corruption from the inside. And they got to see the religious leaders and the hypocrisy that was happening. And many people won't follow Jesus because they feel like there's so much hypocrisy. But yet you see Jesus right here calling out the hypocrisy of his own religious leaders. It's incredible, right? Jesus wasn't about this corrupt, hypocritical religious system. He was about actually loving and caring for people. That's what he cared about. That's why we don't care when I have to say, Elijah, change the slide, or when, you know, something goes wrong in the audio. We're not making a big deal about it. We want to be here as a fellowship of people who truly love and worship God. That's our heart here as a church. So as Jesus breaks this parable down, there's a few things that this Samaritan does. And I've heard generosity broken down into three terms. I've heard it broken down as time, talent, and treasure. Have you guys heard that before? Time, talent, treasure. Now, as I read this story of the Good Samaritan, it's interesting because he invested all three into this man that was beaten up. How much time did it take out of his day to stop, bandage wounds, put him on his own donkey, walk him all the way to an inn, have a conversation with the innkeeper? It didn't matter where he was headed, what he was doing. He stopped in that moment and he helped him. And he spent his own time with him. Now, I know some of you may say, hey, you know what, Mike, you're talking about money. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't have money to give. That's not what this is about. What do you have to give? Do you have time? Because I'll tell you right now, there are some people that love to write a check and not do anything. But to actually take time takes some serious effort. To call someone and ask how they're doing and spend time on the phone with them. To show up at their house and say, hey, I'm here for you. To bring a meal and say, let's just sit down and eat together because you're burdened, because something's going on, I'm here for you. Time is so important. Visiting people in the hospital. We visited a young girl in the hospital that was in our youth group that ended up getting cancer. And we visited her, and it was like the family was saying, this is so great that so many people are coming to visit. My concern is what's going to happen a month from now and 2 months from now when she's still sick and then people stop visiting. And that's just naturally what happens. Why? Because time is very valuable and many people don't want to give their time. That's something that's probably the most precious resource out of every single thing we're going to talk about today that you can offer, that you can give, that everyone in this room has. I don't care how busy you are. I'll check your phone when it says how many hours you've spent on it. And then I'll tell you how much free time you have, right? Time. It's super important. And I told you we were gonna talk a little bit celebration today. The time that some people in this room have invested in our family, have invested into this church, is absolutely insane. Incredible. Everyone who serves in our kids' ministry, right? Emily, who practices and prepares for worship every week, right? I mean, Brianna was telling me, we were kind of going through it last night, and we're like, man, Tino is here at one point fixing faucets and checking our AC units and just like, yeah, what do you need? We're here, you know? And I mean, I'm going to leave people out and people are going to get hurt feelings. I promise every one of you, I love, and you guys have done so much. I mean, like everyone who's been here to just help set up, help tear down. Like, I mean, Emily and Morgan came in here and they're like, cool, we'll help you with the balloon arch. And like, boom, they just started throwing things together. And like, it's just incredible the time and effort that each one of you have put into making this church what it is today is absolute. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. That's the generosity that we can give to one another. And that's just talking about the church. What about how many times you've all been there for each other or been there for our family? And I'm just grateful for each and every one of you. The second thing that he did was he shared his talents. Did you notice that he was able to strap this man onto a donkey, take him to the inn? He was able to bandage his wounds up. He knew what oils and what alcohol to put on it to kill the bacteria on his wounds. This man was beaten half to death. He used his talents. He used his skills to take care of this young man. Now, my question to you is, what talents has God given you that you can be generous with? What has God gifted you to do? So for example, I mean, Emily led worship. She also read something that Ashley wrote that we're like, hey, I don't know how to write a paragraph I don't know where to put the punctuation marks. I'm going to say, you know, I'm like so bad at writing things, and it's cool. Ashley can do it. She's got that gift. She's a reader. She's a writer. Boom, she gets it done, and she does a beautiful job at it. Everyone in here has a specific gift that God has given you, every one of you. And he's created you that way. And some of you maybe haven't discovered it yet. Some of you know what it is, but you're using it for other things. And some of you are already using it to bless God's people and bless the church. And I want to say I'm grateful for each and every one of you who've done that. And those of you who don't do that or don't know what it is, figure it out. Start praying. Start doing that deep dive in your personal time to say, God, what have you created me to do? I'm here for 80 years, if I'm lucky. So what do you want me to do with that time? Because I want to give my talents to best be most to be most effective here. Tyler and Lindsay, haven't talked about them yet. They're in the kids ministry serving right now. They write curriculum, and they write curriculum that aligns with our sermon series so that your kids are learning the same thing that we're learning in here. And it's most people have told Lindsay it's impossible to write line upon line curriculum for kids because what they're learning in the sanctuary, you can't teach kids. She's like, try me. You know what I mean? Like, hold my communion cup. You know, I'm going to go take care of business right now, you know? And she's just handling it, right? was that not right? And last but not least, this Samaritan man gave his treasures, okay? Time, talent, treasure. He gave his treasures. Do you notice he went to the innkeeper and he's like, here's my card. Put it on file. If anything needs to be done, like, here's your 2 denarii. If anything else, you know, if he stays too long, he overstays his welcome, whatever, we'll pay. I'll come back and I'll pay you. And that was him just being such a blessing financially as well. So he really modeled that time, talent, and treasure. I know when I was in high school, so like growing up, I was like, we talked about broke. Some of you can relate, right? Like having a past or currently maybe struggling financially. When I was growing up, we were struggling financially as well. My mom, we know, worked at Vons and was a single mom and kind of raised us. And my dad kind of helped out he paid like our mortgage. That was like his child support thing that he did. And then when my mom got remarried, I was in high school, and my dad's like, I don't have to pay anything anymore, you know? He's like, I'm rich. And so he used to take us out to dinner all the time. And we used to go to these dinners, and we used to bring, you know, I used to bring Brianna with me, and whoever we had, all our friends, we'd come, and my dad would always take care of the bill. He was just a generous guy. It's really all he had, but it's just what he did. And he was just incredibly generous. And I just want us to model that in this church, to say the things that are ours are the Lord's. And so, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? What we see in the New Testament is we see the disciples saying, I have some stuff. I got some land. I got a house. I got some cattle. I'm going to sell everything, and I'm going to give to anyone else who has any need of anything. So you want to talk extreme. That's what they did. And then you see Paul say, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He didn't say, hey, you're going to get great kudos if you do this. He said, no, your reasonable service is to take your body, everything that you are, your time, your gifts, your muscles, your brains, everything that you are, give it to God as a sacrifice and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And then after that, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and say, all right, Lord, what are my marching orders now? Every day I'm going to wake up and give you my body as a living sacrifice because that's my service. So you want to talk about extreme. If you're offended by this message, don't read the scriptures. You know what I mean? Because they'll wreck you. Because the Lord is saying, just, we don't have a lot of time here. You're going to be better off giving to each other and supporting each other and helping each other and being there for each other and giving your time and giving your talent and giving your treasures, whatever it is the Lord's blessed you with, give it to each other and he'll give back tenfold blessings over your life because that's the type of God that we serve. And that's what he did for us. He modeled that to us. So I want to close with this. Many people in this room have showed so much generosity in this church and to each other. And we just hit 1 year. Like we're absolutely in awe of all that the Lord has done, all that he's continuing to do, that he's endured, that he's kept us, that we've built some incredible friendships and incredible relationships have happened here. And people have built friendships with each other. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for your generosity. Every single person in this room. And when I say that, I really do mean your time that you've given, the talents and the gifts that you've shared with us, the treasures that you've given. There are people in San Diego that are like, sure, I believe in you. And they've just, they started sending support and sending finances saying, go and do it. I can't be there because I don't live there, but go. I believe in you guys. Like without those people and without the people in this room, we would not be standing here today. So I'm grateful for you all. And hopefully we see generosity as a core value that's a through theme in everything that we do in this church. Hope Women Center, when it comes to being in each other's lives and saying, I have time for you. Do you need a meal? I got you. Do you need someone to watch your kids? I'm there. Like, what do you need? Do you just need someone to talk to? Let's be there for each other. It starts here. It starts with the people in this room, and then it spreads out to the tip that you give to your waitress at the restaurant. And it spreads out into the tip that you give when a barista gives you a muffin. I guess we're supposed to tip on that too, but whatever it is, generosity, generosity, generosity. Let's be generous with one another. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll spend some time in communion. Oh, Father God, thank you for, said this word 1,000 times today, but generosity, Lord. Thank you for each person who has been so giving and so caring towards this church, towards our family, towards one another, towards the people in our community. God, I'm just absolutely blown away by the love and care of your people. Lord, I pray that we would even go deeper and we would say, as this core value of the church, and I pray that it wouldn't just be the church's core value, it would become each and every one of our own core values, that we would be generous with one another, that we would care for one another. It really comes down to bearing each other's burdens, lifting each other up, and truly caring for each other. So Lord, let us be a generous church. Let us reflect the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, and give. Even when we feel like we don't have, we give. And the little that we do have, we give that. And we say, Lord, this is yours. The same way Jesus Christ came to this world with nothing and left with nothing, he technically gave everything. So Lord, let us model that in our day-to-day lives. God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.